I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Glad to be with you here again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you've given, Father. Thank you for Jesus, Lord, and him coming to this world, Father, to give us the light that he offered, Lord, and the sacrifice that he gave to set us free, Lord. Again, we just thank you for all your goodness. Lord, we just ask that you'd fill us with your spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Lord, that you'd forgive us where we fail you. Lord, help us to do your will and bring glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 9. Verse 38 says, John said to him, "Teacher, we saw one casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, 'Do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able to soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is for us. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say unto you, he will not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones to believe, to stumble, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone hung around his neck and been cast into the sea.'" I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to read on. "If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire." This warning Jesus has given to his disciples, there was some people that were casting out demons in Jesus' name, but they weren't with the disciples. And they right away went to him and tried to stop them from doing it. Tried to prevent them from doing this. And they couldn't. So they went and told Jesus. Jesus told the disciples probably one of the harshest things that could happen to a person. That if they would cause one of these little ones to stumble. He told them, "Whoever is not against us is for us. Whoever is not against us is for us." You know, Jesus was one of the figures in history that was very, and there's been several of them. People either loved him or they hated him. They either loved him or they hated him. And there were some, it seemed, that were in the middle, but most of the people, they either loved him or hated him. And Jesus told his disciples that he who is not against us is for us. That is ought to be an encouragement to us. Sometimes we get discouraged about people that maybe they're not all for us, or they're not with us, or they're not all out. But Jesus said, if they're not against us, they're for us. We've had several friends throughout our time here that, you know, they've maybe been in churches that have not accepted us, but they come in sometimes, or they'll just come by themselves and just say, "I'm praying for you," or "I'm for you." You know, they might not really be with us. They might not be willing to just do everything and go the extra mile and just be a part of us, or just stand out and face some ridicule or opposition to be with us, but they're for us. And that's what Jesus was telling us here, that He who is not against us is for us. And sometimes, like I said, we get to wondering, you know, well, why won't they just make that step or just be a part, just step out and be different and show themselves clearly that they're with us. And we just wonder, you know, why don't you just take up your cross and follow? And, you know, that's sometimes I don't really even think that's our place to just say that. Jesus said that if they're not against us, they're for us. It says, "For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say unto you, he will not lose his reward." And I don't understand that. All of that, you know, we see all these things, and sometimes there's people that we don't think are living quite right, but you know, they'd go to bat for you anytime because of you being a follower of Christ. And I don't, like I said, I don't understand this, but Jesus said they won't lose their reward. I don't know what that means for sure. But, you know, we try to correct people or try to change them a lot of times. But here Jesus said that if they just give you a cup of water because you're a follower of Christ, they won't lose their reward. We had a funeral yesterday. And I told during the funeral about the man that you know, we wouldn't approve of his life necessarily. But every time I ever heard about him, almost, he was defending us and standing up for us. You know, he probably stood up for us more than we stand up sometimes, faced opposition. And I remember I was going through a tough time one time, and he sent a rock that, I think it's maybe still here somewhere, but he sent a rock and with the message that let him that's without sin cast the first stone. You know, a time whenever there was a lot of people that were against us, and he was thoughtful enough to try to send some encouragement just by a rock. And that was just a real blessing. Never have forgot that. Appreciate it. And I don't know, but what a rock wasn't just about as big as a cup of water at that time. Then it says, "Whosoever causes one of these little ones who believed to stumble, it would be better for him with a heavy millstone hung about his neck and be cast into the sea." What a horrible thing. And then it says, "If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off." You know, a lot of times we put these verses with, you know, if it's causing us to sin, then cut it off. But this is causing someone to stumble. It says, cut your hand off. You know, if our hand's going to cause us to stumble in that way, cut your hand off. It's better to enter into life without a hand. In other words, err on the other side of encouraging someone instead of offending them, to quit or to give up. That's what I wanted to talk about. This, you know, the teaching us to have patience and be an encouragement. Colby talked about being an encouragement to those under us or those that are watching us, to be a blessing. You know, we're either a blessing or we're a curse to someone. You know, it may not seem like we're just cursing them, but we're maybe causing them to stumble. And that's being a curse as opposed to being a blessing to them, offering help to them. You know, a lot of times we see people that are struggling or weaker than we are, and the first thing we want to do is just, what are we doing? We want to criticize them. We want to get on them. But you know, the way for a person, if there's someone that's doing something that's bothering you, it's time for you to be the bigger person and step up and fill in the gap for that person. They don't need chewed out. They don't need griped out because they're failing or walking weak. They need someone to step up beside them and say, I'll just be your friend for a while. And I'll fill that gap. And then maybe they can see by your example to be encouraged to walk on. And then they might be able to see some of those things that they're doing that are wrong. You might become a help to them. In Romans chapter 14, verse 1, it says, now accept the one who is weak in the faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment upon his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Now accept the one who is weak in the faith. You know, whenever we see someone falling short, failing, our first thought most of the time is to criticize them, condemn them, set them apart, ostracize them. But the Bible says that he that is weak in the faith, or he that is weak in the faith, to be accepted. Accept the one that is weak in the faith. This is where we often can offend people. Not because we just did something blatantly in front of them. It's because whenever they needed help, instead of someone sticking out a helping hand to help lift them up, they get slapped upside the head with the Bible. It said, straighten up or get out. That's how you offend someone. But if you can accept them where they're at and walk with them on their level, you can be a hand to them. You can be a blessing to them, a help to them. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. Now we who are strong, you know, if we're looking at someone and we see their weaknesses, we're saying we're stronger than they are. If I can look at someone and see all your failures, what I'm saying is I'm stronger than you are. The encouragement here is to the one that's stronger ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just to please ourselves. You see, there's more ways than one just to please ourselves. We talk about pleasure, self-pleasure. We talk about those that just live to please themselves. Well, here's a whole new light on that. People who think they're strong can look at someone else and criticize them and condemn them and throw them away. Just be done with them. We're pleasing ourselves. We're certainly not pleasing the Lord. What would the Lord have done with us many, many times? You know, Jesus said, as we judge others, that is exactly how we will judge ourselves. You know, if we could get a hold of that, the depth, the breadth of that one little thought, it should transform us. Each one of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Those sharp rebukes that people had for you and your failings and your falterings and your weaknesses and your being without strengths fell on him because he bore them. He bore them for that other person just as well as he did for you. You know how many times the strong, the ones who actually think they're strong, or the ones who see all the faults in other people, set themselves up as being strong, and then they cast the other person away or cut them off, excommunicate them, get rid of them. We don't want them. They're going to pollute us. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses. You know, a lot of people look at churches and they see a strong church because, boy, everybody's right on the same page and they're just right there and everything's just right. There's not been a sin in that church for 15 years. It's just amazing. And any little thing that comes up, it's dealt with. That's a strong church. Well, God would bear to differ with you. Jesus would bear to differ with you. It's not a strong church. It's an offensive church. It's a stench in his eyes. It rejects the very idea of him dying for your sins and being patient with you. There's nothing strong about it. It's a weak church that's so weak and feeble that it can't tolerate anything that's not right where it is. That's puny. There's no strength in it at all. A strong person has to be willing to open himself up to be hurt. That's where real love comes in. Love isn't just getting along with everybody because we're all cookie cutters or all just the same. Love comes in whenever you become vulnerable. You're strong enough to open your heart up to be vulnerable for someone to hurt you. Some of the biggest hurts that we've felt as a body is in a church is because we opened our doors to try to help someone. We reached out. We put ourselves in a place where we'll just take in. We'll just take in. Knowing there's a lot of weakness. Knowing there's a lot of faults. Wondering if there's anything really there at all. But we open ourselves up. Let them come in. All kinds of hurts and pains. Several times where that's where it wound up. One of the very foundations of what we began, started in the first place, came on these very principles of just accepting someone weaker in the faith. One of the reasons I was excommunicated in the first place from the Mennonites. You know, holding signs was one issue, but there was another issue, and that was there was a brother that was weak. And the ministry had met and talked with him and decided they were going to excommunicate him because he just wasn't pulling the weight that they thought he ought to. He just wasn't there. Couldn't really find much, but he would challenge the ministers once in a while and just had them all ruffled up. And whenever they were asking me what my problem was, I looked at all of them. I just went around the room and I said, you know, every one of you were brought up in a happy, godly home. And you were bounced on your mama's knee, and you never had a fear that your mama would ever do anything wrong to you. They might discipline you when you needed it, but you knew she'd never do you wrong. You knew your father was going to be home every night to sit at a table with you and guide you and encourage you and strengthen you and do whatever you needed for your good. You never doubted that. Every one of you grew up that way. And I said, here's a man who grew up and his mother had 5 husbands that had done everything in the world, drunk, everything in the world you can imagine to him, bad, just as much as you had good. And a mother that the only time she showed you any attention is whenever she was screaming her head off, chasing you with a belt, chasing her with a belt, chasing him with a belt, right through the neighborhood sometimes. A man that whenever he was 12 years old, went on a trip with his grandma across the country, and on the way back, they stopped and smoked dope together. That's the kind of influence he grew up with. And you don't have enough patience with him to work with him because he don't meet up to your standard. And I looked at each one of them. One of them started crying. Said, I don't even know where the man lives. But none of them could say a thing. But after I left, they voted and excommunicated him. We took him right in when we first started. And we take him in again. He had his weaknesses. I knew that. I dealt with him as much as anybody. We who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength. We've had other times, there was another family, there was 2 families or 3, they were starting and had another brother that had come to us, had a horrible life, lived a bad life, but he came wanting help. And he went to work for this other family, this good family. And he just began to see so many problems that he got really discouraged. And he left, went out and got drunk, had a car wreck, wound up in jail. We told him to serve his time. And when he got out, you go to jail. We wouldn't pay his bail. We let him stay in jail for quite a while, over a month, maybe 2. And when he got out, he had an opportunity to go right back to what he came from. But he didn't. He came back to us. And that family that he had found trouble with or couldn't, he came back, they told me, they came to me and said, we're not going to eat supper with him. He's a drunk. He got drunk. And we're not even going to eat with him anymore, not let alone have communion with him. And I told the man, I said, you can do whatever you like. But I want you to know something. You're not excommunicating him. You're excommunicating yourself from us. Because we're going to take him in. And we're going to help him. We wasn't even communing with him. We was just letting him come and be a part of us. Just have supper with us. And I said, we're gonna work with him. He could have gone right back to the world, but he came back to us for help. And we are going to help him, not stick a fist in his face. About a third of the church left. Never came back after that. There was a big part of our little group at that time was that man and his sons, his family. We loved them, still do. Jesus came because we're weak. And don't forget it. Jesus came because we're weak. That's who he's looking for. And we can either help people and open up our hearts and our homes and our times and our lives to be a friend. Not just preaching to someone all the time. Not just trying to cram our ideas down their throat. Not just scolding. But just being a friend. Just being there. You know, Jesus was just in this world. And he was there. And the people that came to him, how many times the disciples and the apostles said, "Get him away, get him away, you're bothering us." And Jesus stopped them and said, "Bring him here. Bring him here. I want to see him." And then touched them and they could see him. Touched them and they could hear. Touched them and they could rise up and walk. Because he took the time just to be there and be a blessing when they needed it, not us. See, being help is about being strong enough to help someone when they need it, not just when we want to give it. Any of us can love those who love us. It takes real love to love those who aren't so lovable and just be there for them. Be hurt by them sometimes. Cause pain and suffering to us sometimes. But Jesus died for us. He suffered the reproach, the real reproach, the shame, being hung on a cross as a dirty, rotten sinner. He just bore it. He just bore it. The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me, he said. To have pure church is not just to set up all the right rules, but it's actually to have the faith to be a faith that we can pass on. That's how you have a church that lasts. We got to open ourselves up and be vulnerable enough in this flesh so that the real faith can live and be passed on from faith to faith. It's not locking ourselves up and just keeping everything just looking perfect. It's walking with the Lord, being an example of Jesus to this world. Being an older brother, being a father, being a friend. You know, the world don't have many friends, the people in it. And they think they do. But those who are just cast out of all of that, cast aside, then they look to us to be a friend. Be that friend for them. May the Lord add his blessings.
This week we're supposed to get a verse about being thankful and also say something we're thankful for. One verse I found was 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. It says, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater." I think we should always be thankful for the brotherhood and the fellowship we have here. And also, something I'm really thankful for is the rain we just got these last few days. Really, really is going to make the grass greener.
I got Colossians 3, verse 17. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And that says that we just need to do everything we do with an attitude of thankfulness. And if we're thankful for the things that have been done for us, we can pass that on to others. And one thing that I'm thankful for is a privilege to have freedom and to have a nice place. And we're not cooped up on some government property somewhere. And, there's just a lot of people who don't get to have those things, and I'm thankful for those.
I got Psalms 106, verse 1 and 2. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let those redeemed by the Lord say so, whom he redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And I'm just thankful that God found it good to give me another day to just make good choices and just to follow him.
I got Romans 1, 18 through 21. "For the wrath of God is revealed, from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." So God made the world and showed his power and his might, and for even though they knew God, they did not honor him and did not give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts was darkened, and so they neglected to give thanks and honor to God for what he's made and what he's done. And so I'm thankful for what he's done for us and the beautiful world that he's made and everything that he's done.
I got 1 Chronicles 33. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And I'm thankful for the fellowship here in the church.
I got Psalm 94, 2. "Let us come before his face with thanksgiving, and let us shout aloud to him with psalms." And I did a lot of thinking this week about being thankful and things that I'm really thankful for. And I was thinking, you know, well, I have mentioned before about my parents and my siblings, and I thought, well, you know, there's something that's a real big part of my life that I haven't mentioned before, and all my friends I can see right here that I've had a lot of good times with and a lot of memories growing up with, so thanks, everybody.
Philippians 5:20, "Always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even our Father." And I'm thankful for our church and my friends.
I got a verse in Romans 6:17. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And I'm thankful that the Lord put me in a place where there's good people all around and that I wasn't put in a place where there was sin everywhere.
All right, Psalm 7:17. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Thankful for a lot of things. When you're given the assignment, you know, you can go on for hours and hours on things that you're thankful for. But one thing I'm really thankful for is being able to work and have a job. Being able to, you know, provide for myself and also practicing for the future and providing for a family.
Good morning, everybody. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? Dear and Father, we come before you this morning, and we just want to thank you for all your many blessings to us. Thank you for allowing us to gather here together, for the rain, for keeping everyone safe. Let's ask that you bless and keep us, and be with the brethren around the world. Help us all just be mindful of you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning I wanted to talk about, in Wisdom of Sirach, chapter 19, starting verse 18, just read some verses here. Verse 18. All wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and in all wisdom there is the doing of the law. Wisdom is not the knowledge of evil, nor is there discernment in the counsel of sinners. There is a cleverness that is an abomination, and there is a fool who is lacking in wisdom. Better is a man who is afraid but lacks understanding than a man who abounds in discernment but transgresses the law. There is a precise cleverness which itself is unjust, and there is one who is offensive that justice may be revealed. There is an evildoer bowed down in mourning, but inwardly he is full of deceit. He covers his face and pretends to be deaf, but when no one notices, he will take advantage of you. If he is prevented from sinning because he lacks strength, when he later finds an opportunity, he will do evil. A man will be known by his appearance, and a man of intelligence will be known by his countenance when you meet him. The clothing of the man and the way he laughs and walks give an indication of who he is. Kind of a couple verses that stood out to me on that in that section was the last couple verses there just talks about a man will be known by his appearance, and that just stood out to me because I was thinking, people, we don't really see people. It talks about God sees the heart, and we just see outward appearance. I was just thinking, we just see people every day, but we don't really know who they are or whatever. But, we can kind of discern who they are by the way they talk or the way they dress or the way they act just from day to day. I just thought that was kind of a good point to bring out, that we do, even people see us or the way we walk or the way we talk and the things we do. We're an example. Or everyone has someone that looks up to them no matter where they're at in life, no matter who it is. But I just thought that was a good thought to always be mindful of, that we are an example to people. And it just kind of a big responsibility to me, it feels like. And sometimes I'm not always the best example, but I want to try to be the better example, to my brothers, my younger siblings, and maybe even some of the boys here in church. So just want to encourage everyone to be, always remember someone that's always watching. So that's all I had. Thank you.
Lesson, you can tell about something that something that you were thankful for that was hard to be thankful for. In other words, something that maybe you're not thankful for, but you should be thankful for.
Rise up, O man of God, and up with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O man of God.
the Lord.